This morning we are continuing our series titled The Heart of Jesus, and our message this morning is titled Jesus, God's Love. And I hope that as we've progressed over the weeks that we are beginning to see and we are beginning to understand that the proper way to see the birth of Christ, which we will celebrate next Wednesday, is through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. I also hope that we are beginning to see that God has truly given you and I many gifts, and all of these gifts in hope, peace, joy, and this morning, God's love come in the person, in God Himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I sincerely hope that we are beginning to see that, because if we fail to see the birth of Christ through anything other than the crucifixion and the resurrection, we minimize it, and we fail to grasp the entire scope of what God did many, many years ago. Last Wednesday evening, the youth group, we went Christmas caroling, and although we were cut short because of the wind, it was very cold, and not wanting to risk anyone getting frostbite, we only went a couple places. And so we came back, and then we started drinking hot cocoa and trying to warm up and everything, and we began to talk. And I began to hear things of the experience as how fun it was from the teenagers. And I began to engage and interact with the kids, and I began to ask them why they had so much fun caroling. And then I shared a story many years ago that of my life when I would take my niece Christmas shopping. And as I was transitioning through from the business world to ministry, my finances were not what they should have been, and I was unable to take my niece Christmas shopping. And so I began to think, what can we do? Because I did not want to break the tradition with Christy. And so I said, hey, Christy, at this time, she was 10 or 11 years old. I said, how about we make things for everyone? And so we decided to spend a day, a Saturday, in the kitchen. And as you all know that you've been in the kitchen, after about 6-8 hours, you got flour everywhere, sugar everywhere. And Christy had been checked out for several hours, and I was busy cleaning up and finishing up all the cookies and all the different things that we were making. And you know, I asked the teenagers on Wednesday, I said, which one of those years do you think was the most memorable? And they bantered around, and they really didn't know at first. And then finally, one of them said, the one where you made everything. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I said, why? And why is it so fun for you to go Christmas caroling? Why is it so fun? And after a while, they began to banter around, but you know what we settled on? We settled on the fact was that we were giving ourselves. We were giving away part of ourselves, and we were not going somewhere and buying something. We were not just taking something that someone else had made or manufactured or fabricated and giving that as a gift. We were giving a part of ourselves away. This morning, I hope and my prayer is that we will see that Jesus gave himself away for you and for me. That's my hope, because friends, that's exactly what he did. The scripture that we're going to be looking at is found in the book of 1 John, chapter 4. We read it a moment ago, and it is verse 8. But before that, I want to just define what love is. You know, our world that we live in, love has so many different meanings. The word love is thrown around aimlessly, it seems, and it's applied to all different types of situations, circumstances, and we even apply it to inanimate objects with statements such as, I love ice cream, or I love my car, or I love my iPhone. I wonder what our world would look like if more people grasped the biblical meaning of the greatest gift the Lord has ever given, and that greatest gift is His love. And before you and I dismiss this topic as this morning by feeling that we have attained this understanding, let me caution us all that if we are in Christ as a believer and if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we, my friends, are under a higher calling. And I'll say that again. If you are in Christ, if you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then you and I are under a higher calling. We have come to terms with God's love. We have received it. But the question that we will all need to ask is, what will we do with God's love? The World English Dictionary defines love as to have a great attachment to and affection for. to have passionate desire or longing and feelings for, to like or to desire something very much. Daniel Migliori, in Faith Seeking Understanding, on the other hand, he defines love as the act of seeking and maintaining the good of another. Even right here, we begin to see the difference between a biblical love that Jesus had and exemplified and showed for you and me, and the difference between that type of love and the difference between a worldly love. You see, from the very moment that Jesus stepped into our world and stepped out of eternity, he was seeking and maintaining the good for you and for me. That was his whole mission. He was born to die. He was born to sacrifice his life. He was born to give himself away for your benefit and my benefit. Stanley J. Grenz, in the Pocket Dictionary of Theological Terms, defines love as, he says, agape, and friends, that's the biblical term for the type of love that God is. Agape love is an expression of the essential nature of God. I want us to hear that. Agape is an expression of the essential nature of God. You see, Jesus, when he came to earth, he did not give what he had. He did not give something that he possessed. He gave himself. You see, when we love something, we give out of what we have, but Jesus gave out of who he is and who he was and who he always will be, namely love incarnate, love in the flesh. And so he wasn't giving out of a reservoir that he had. He wasn't giving out of some little stash of love and feelings and warm, fuzzy things that he had in his feelings of thinking of you and me. He was giving out of him. He was giving himself for you and for me. Many Christian thinkers suggest that the essence of this type of love is the unconditional giving of oneself for the sake of others. And we can truly see Jesus in the unconditional giving of himself when he died on the cross, and the scripture attests that he said that his life was not taken from him, but he laid down his life. He gave his life for you and for me, and he gave love for you and for me. And it's important that we make the connection between God showing love through Jesus and God being love. I'll say that again. It's important that we make that connection between God showing love and God being love. The scripture says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And many times we interpret that as God showing love. And no, it's saying that God is love, and he is that type of love, and that's who he is, that's who he always will be, that because he is love, it motivated and motivated him to do something so radical, so different than this world will ever know by giving something so precious to him, and that's Jesus. We're going to settle in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 here this morning for the next several moments, and this verse states this. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And here's the connection. The Apostle John, when he penned this text, he was making a comparison. He was making an equation here, and he was saying, by this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. And so we could even say, by this we know Jesus. By this we know God. Because Jesus laid down his life for us. And if it wasn't for Jesus laying down his life, we, my friends, would never, ever, ever have the opportunity of knowing God. And so I want us to equate biblical love with God, because God is love. And by this, we know Jesus Christ, because he gave his life for us. And then the second half of that verse says, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. By this we know Jesus, because he loved us and laid down his life for us. As I mentioned, we're told elsewhere in Scripture that God is love. And as I mentioned, I want us to realize what the nature of God is, and it's love, and what the nature of God compelled him to do. And this type of love compelled him to give you a gift, to give me a gift that is incomprehensible, a gift that is unspeakable. It's immeasurable. There is no equation for it in this world. God gave himself to you and to me. And Jesus gave himself in himself being love. I want us to understand exactly what Jesus did when he was born many years ago, when he ushered in the holy presence of God in this world through the works of C.S. Lewis. Now listen to this. Lying at your feet is your dog. Imagine for the moment that your dog and every dog is in deep distress. Some of us love dogs very much, and if it would help all the dogs in the world to become like men, would you be willing to become a dog? Would you put down your human nature? Would you leave your loved ones? Would you leave your job? Would you leave your hobbies, your culture, and your music? And would you choose instead the intimate communion with your beloved? The poor substitute of looking into the beloved's face and wagging your tail, unable to smile or speak. Christ, Jesus, by becoming a person, he limited the one thing which to him was the most precious thing in the world, and that was his unhampered, unhindered communion with God the Father. And at first glance, when we hear that, we think, oh, that's silly. But friends, there's a profound truth there. Because Jesus, he was willing to limit the unhampered, unhindered communion with God the Father, and he was willing to usher himself in this world, in your world, my world, and become like you and me. And he was motivated by love. He was motivated by himself. This is exactly what Jesus, God's love, did. He came and he dwelt among us. The infinite became the finite. The timeless, eternal one entered into time. The invisible became visible, and the creator entered his creation. Hear that? The infinite became finite. The timeless, eternal one entered into time, and the invisible, loving Lord became visible. The creator became the creation. Chuck Colson of Prison Fellowship, before he passed away, he tells about a prison in Sao do Campos, Brazil. And this prison was turned over to two Christians. Yes, two. More than 20 years ago. It's running according to the Christian principles, and the prison has only two people on its staff. And yes, that's not a typo. Only two people on its staff. And the inmates do everything else. Each prisoner has another to whom he is accountable, and every prisoner goes to chapel or takes a course in character formation. Each prisoner is assigned to a volunteer family outside the prison that makes him a part of their family, and the rate of return for crimes after their release is 4%, and that is not a typo, 4%, compared to the 75% in other Brazilian prisons. When Colson visited the prison to discover the secret to their success, a prisoner took him to what at one time was an isolation cell. And when they got there, the prisoner asked Chuck Colson if he wanted to go in. Colson said yes. When the door opened, Colson saw a beautifully carved wooden figure of Jesus hanging on the cross. The prisoner pointed to the figure of Jesus and whispered to Chuck Colson, and he said, "He's doing time for us all." You see, when Jesus exited heaven and he came to earth, he literally was doing time for you and for me. And because he decided to do that time, he is still ministering for you and for me, even to this day. The scriptures attest that he intercedes for us all each and every day, and that is his ministry. It's ongoing. He is praying, interceding. He's lifting you up before a holy God. He's lifting you up before our Heavenly Father. Because he is love, and he is so much love that he yearns that you and I commune with him. And I want to give us two quick things here this morning. What are we to do with this? That by this we know love. By this we know Jesus, that he laid down his life for us. I want to give us two things. The first is Jesus, or God's love, must permeate our soul. Permeate. It must infiltrate. It must flood our soul. It must be the very thing that ebbs and flows deep within the core in the recesses of our soul. It has to be. It must be. 1 John 3:16, by this we know Jesus. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. If we allow Jesus, if we allow love, God's love, to permeate our soul, there will be four different results, and this is an acronym spelling love. The first is it will be lasting. Blaise Pascal, the scientist years gone by, he says this. He says, everyone is born with a God-shaped void in their heart. You see, friends, we're all searching for something. We're all seeking to fill that emptiness deep within our inside of us. We're all seeking to fill our life with something that will provide fulfillment, satisfaction, will give us the fun, will give us the success, and will give us the peace of heart and mind and soul. And friends, when we allow Jesus to permeate our soul, we will receive that fulfillment, that satisfaction, that fun, that peace, that security. And how do we do this? Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. He says, take his yoke upon you and learn from him, for he is gentle and lowly in heart. And listen to what you'll find. You will find rest for your souls. Many years ago, my nephew, when he was a young tyke, he was going through some different things, and so it became the practice of mine when he was going through a difficulty that I would say, you know, do you want to pray? And I shared this verse with him. And I said, you know what the promise is? The promise is God will give rest to your soul. The promise is that if we take our burdens to him and we exchange our burdens, and this doesn't even, it's incomprehensible to me. Jesus is saying, give me all your junk, give me all your garbage, your burden, and all the things that are making you anxious and things of life, and I'll take them from you and I'll give you rest, I'll give you peace. Well, years ago with my nephew, he was going through some difficulty, and I shared this promise with him. And I said, do you want rest? And all he could say, he was so young, he was 6 or 7 years old, he said, I want rest, I want rest. And we prayed. An amazing thing happened. The lasting effect of God's love, of Jesus himself, permeated that young man's very physical being. And he was changed. And God took his burden. God took his heaviness. God took all that was making him worried and all that was making him anxious, and he gave him himself and he gave him his rest. The second thing, when we allow Jesus to permeate our soul and to allow it to ebb and flow deep within our being, is it will be overflowing. Hear that. The scriptures in Romans 8, how deep and how wide is the love of God? Neither height nor depth nor width nor breadth nor famine or persecution or nakedness or peril or anything can separate you and I from the love of God. Hear that. Hear that. It will be so overflowing that it will be what you emit, what you exude from your life if you would only, and I would only allow it to permeate our souls. Romans 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint. Now listen to this next phrase, because the love of God, because Jesus, because God himself has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to you and to me. You see, God, Jesus, loves you so much that he did not want you nor I to be orphans. He did not want us to walk and wander and meander aimlessly throughout the rest of this life here on this earth. So he sent himself in the form of the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and in me. I met with an individual this past week, and I shared this with him, and I told him the very power that resurrected Jesus from the dead and allowed him to live again is that same power that is in you and in me. And friends, when you begin to wrap your mind around that, it's like, whoa. That same power. You see, God didn't give us a watered-down formula. He gave himself. He gave us love. He gave us himself. And he sealed your heart and my heart with himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he has poured himself into your heart by the agent of the Holy Spirit. He has poured himself into all of our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The third thing, when we allow Jesus to permeate our soul, is we realize that we become valuable. John 3:16, I mentioned it moments ago, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Scriptures attest that you and I have been bought with a price. And that price was the shed blood of Christ who was crucified. And he has purchased you back. The scriptures attest that you and I once were darkness, but now we have been made the light. Not once we were in darkness, but you and I once were darkness. And it's the act of God. It's the act of love, the biblical agape love that has sacrificed and sought out your well-being to maintain your well-being in Jesus himself. We're told in Ephesians that God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're so valuable that he made you alive. He raised you up, and he has seated you and I in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's how valuable you and I are in God's eyes. Precious, precious, precious is what God thinks of you and me. The last thing, when we allow the love of Christ and Jesus himself to permeate our very being, is we will understand that the love is eternal. Hear that. It's eternal. The last verse in 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." If you've ever wondered why the greatest is love, is because faith and hope will cease. While we're here on this earth, we will all need faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus crucified. We will have the hope of a redemption. Hope of being raised and being resurrected in Jesus our Lord. But yet, when we are in heaven, our faith and our hope will cease. We will no longer need faith. We will be in God's presence. We will no longer need hope. We will be in God's presence. But the only thing that will never cease is love. For friends, God is love. And that is why it's the greatest. Because God is love. So what's our response to the love of God? We can go and we can understand that Jesus will be lasting in our life. He will be overflowing. He will make us realize we're valuable. And we will be focused upon the eternal if we allow the love of God, Jesus himself, to permeate our soul. The second half, and this is why I say our response to Jesus, God's love. The second half of 1 John 3, verse 16 says this, "And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." I have no great challenge for us here this morning. I have no great thing to challenge us all to go out and do. The only thing that I have is that if we would bask in the presence of God's love, there's one result that will never be hidden. It will never be hidden from your life and from my life, because if we allow Jesus to permeate our soul, our response to Christ, his love, God himself will always be visible in our life. Hear that. If we allow God to permeate our being, God himself will always be visible to those who are watching, because it will flow, it will flood through us. And so, friends, my hope is that as we approach next Wednesday, as we approach next Tuesday, that we view the birth of Christ through the crucifixion and the gifts that Jesus has brought here for you and for me, and he has brought himself to give you himself, which is love. And he wants to permeate. He wants to flood your soul. so that you will be fulfilled. You will have the lasting effect. You will be overflowing with his love. You will know that you are precious, you are valuable, and you and I will be focused on the eternal. Friends, that's what God wants for all of us this Christmas. May we bask in the presence of Jesus. May we bask in God's love. Let us pray. Precious Savior Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for just what you bless us with each and every day. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for sending love incarnate. We thank you for that. We thank you for the lasting effects of your love upon our life, that we no longer have to search for anything. We thank you for the overflowing nature, meaning there's no measure, there's no limit, that it's not going to be exhausted. We can come to you time and time again and say, fill me, Jesus. Fill me with your very presence. Fill me with your love. And we thank you that we recognize how valuable in your eyes we are, how precious we are in your sight, and how worthy we are of you. Not on our own merit, but on what you have done. And so, Father, may we focus upon the eternal. May we focus upon basking in your goodness, basking in your love. And Father, may others see the visible manifestation of how you reign and move and ebb and flow deep within our soul in the form of love. We thank you for this season. We thank you for giving your Son, the babe Jesus, the one who we will celebrate next Wednesday. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of yourself, the gift of love. We pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.